Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is Monday, April 17th, 2023. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share some helpful tips for everyone who's joining through the phone calls. You can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make some comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *. Everyone who has joined through the conference, you can click on the speaker or icon that says mute or unmute. And if you go under reactions, you can click on the raise hand icon that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to utilize these tools, that would be great because it helps us, it indicates that somebody's trying to make some comments and we can take one speaker at a time. Currently, everybody's on mute, so I would request for you to please stay on mute unless speaking. It helps us eliminate any external noise. So thank you in advance for that. And just as a reminder, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request everyone to please state your name first and then your comment. It helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is at that moment. Chair Semaphore, if you would agree, I can read the agenda and then take AAC roll call.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. I would also like to share my screen while I read the agenda. So if you would give me a quick moment while I do that.
Also, there's one adjustment you have to make. It's the next meeting. The date needs to change. But
okay. Thank you. Okay, I believe my screen is visible at this point. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call for committee members. And then Chief Semaphore will go through the motion of reviewing today's meeting agenda, getting an approval for it, as well as last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have customer service report and commendations report. At 4:15, we will have Michael Wilson Award as well as the AAC Metro Access Safety Award.
Alert, audio now unmuted.
At 4:20, Allison Anderson will give us an update about web booking. Mr. Blake will give us an update for Metro Access window change at 4:30. At 4:40, Mr. Blake will discuss Metro Access flat fare cap. At 5:05, Ms. Anderson will discuss Metro Access easy pay. At 5:30, Mr. Blake will discuss updates about where is my ride application pilot. At 5:35, we will begin the public comment section. And the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will stop sharing my screen now. I'll be calling out AAC members' names. So when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia. Tino Calabia is at Silver Spring site, as members were invited to view and test the floating bus stops.
Audio now unmuted.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. I believe Rico is on the call with us. Yvonne Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
I am present. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave at about 4:30. I'm hoping I can get off that meeting to come back shortly thereafter.
Thank you for informing Debbie. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsom.
I'm here at the moment. Yes. I'm here at the moment, but I may not be here for the whole meeting.
I understand, Sandy. Thank you. Just for the record, Sandy is also at the Silver Spring site visit. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simonow. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Semaphore, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
All right, thank you so much. So we're gonna go through this agenda here. The first thing we're going to deal with is approval of the meeting agenda. We have a fully packed agenda. Are there any additions to this agenda? Here are none, with crickets. Can I get a motion to accept the agenda as is? All right. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye. Nays, abstentions. I'm going to go ahead. Okay. I guess by acclamation, this meeting agenda will be accepted as is. Prior meeting minutes. Any questions, changes, additions to the March meeting minutes of the subcommittee? Hearing the crickets, can I get a motion to approve without objection? Any objections? Hearing none, I guess the prior meeting minutes are accepted as is. Okay, Ms. Anderson and company, customer service report, combinations report, next.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson with the Metro Access team. I'd like to present Kay Clark with MTM, our QA contractor, to discuss the public comment resolution from our last meeting. Ms. Clark? Let's see, you're still on mute there. Still on. Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, good. Sorry, I had a connection issue on my phone here. I apologize, everyone. I will provide both the comments from the March meetings and the Metro Access commendation count. For starters, there was one comment to address from the subcommittee meeting. An AAC member shared a complaint about a Metro Access Operations Control Center employee using inappropriate language on the phone when he called Thursday, March 16th, and spoke with someone in Where's My Ride? Mr. Christian Blake, Managing Director of Access Services, assured the committee member that this event would be investigated. The OCC contractor management team investigated all calls affiliated with the AAC member's profile for March 16th, along with all incoming and outgoing calls from these phone numbers for the entire week. The OCC contractor management team was unable to locate any calls where an employee used inappropriate language as described. An independent investigation was conducted by Metro Access staff that ended with the same findings. Mr. Blake provided the AAC member his contact information to immediately reach out if a future occurrence of this nature took place. An immediate report will afford staff an opportunity to perform an expeditious investigation and locate the source. Outside of that, we did have 304 accommodations for the month of March, broken down by provider. They are as follows. We have First Transit at 62, TransDev 61, MVOCC had 75, Challenger had 27, Next Transportation 72, MTM 1, Eligibility 1, and Abilities Ride 5. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any questions, committee members? Is there any outreach reports at this time, Ms. Anderson?
No, we don't have any outreach that we've gone on location. However, we still continue to resolve and handle any calls that come through our office or ADAP from customers.
All right, let's go with the Michael Wilson Award next in the Metro Access AAC Metro Access Safety Award.
So the first recognition this afternoon is going to be coming from our team members at MV Transportation. So at this time, trying to see who's on. I believe Dante Washington is going to be doing the recognition award this afternoon to one of his employees. Dante, are you on?
So, Allison, hold on, Dante. Allison, I just want to say Dante is offsite. So I just wanted to let everyone see that Eula Owens is here with me in the office, and Dante is her manager. He is going to be giving her all the accolades. So go ahead, Dante.
Yes, thank you, Nicole. Good afternoon, everyone. Miss Eula Owens started her career with MV Transportation as a reservation agent in January 2009. In 2019, after 10 years of dedicated service as a reservationist, Eula was recognized for her stellar performance and promoted to a subscription agent within MV scheduling department. Eula's commitment in providing customer-centric service led to her receiving multiple commendations, highlighting her willingness to serve our customers with the utmost empathy and compassion. It is a great pleasure to work with Eula on a daily basis as she smiles through each phone contact and takes pride in her responsibilities, providing exceptional customer satisfaction. She is always solution-focused and handles every subscription customer's needs with empathy and understanding. It is my honor to present the Michael Wilson Award for April 2023 to Miss Eula Owens. Thank you for your 14 years of dedicated service to our Metro Access customers. Great job, Eula. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Sinful, I have pleasure of working with you plenty of times. So it's always a pleasure working with all the customers and clients that I run across on a daily basis. Thank you guys so much. And I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Thanks a lot. You are too.
Audio now unmuted.
Oh, well deserved, Miss Eula. This is Vanessa. She deserved it. Thank you.
Yes, all right. She
does. So with that, congratulations, Eula. I've worked with her as well over a number of years, and she's the best. So with that, we are going to, I guess, move on to our next award recipient. This is the AAC Safety Award. And this afternoon, that award is going to be presented by our team at TransDev.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing, Allison? Mr. Bowman, put your head in the camera, sir. Thank you very much. He's with Letitia Parker sitting right here. If you guys can't see him, he's the handsome gentleman right there on the left of Patricia. Mr. Bowman, he's a professional. He graduated, you know, and he came a professional Metro Access occurred by faith. His path here was by way of Uber. He was an Uber operator for a while. He brought somebody from a location to Hubbard Road, and that individual operator was talking to him about whether to transport and come on and be a part, because Mr. Bowman always loves customers. He had customer satisfaction as the number one, and he knew that his path brought him here because it was God's divine will. He started with TransDev in June 17, 2017. His previous positions before TransDev allowed him to work independently but service the public. Outstanding customer service has always been the forefront of Mr. Bowman, which is a great thing. He's personable, he's friendly, he enjoys helping others. The staff here at TransDev has helped him transition tremendously above his and beyond his tenure. There were challenges at the beginning, which of course in any new job would happen, but he overcame that. He came with the person. He jumped in. He said, look, I know I did this wrong, but let me continue to move on and do the best thing that I can do. With that, he loves driving. He transporting passengers is his most. He enjoys the assisting people from different walks of life. A little bit about Mr. Bowen. He was born and raised in Washington, D.C., which a lot of us were, which is a great thing. He spent his entire metropolitan life in D.C. He was born and raised by both parents, James and Lily Bowman, and he grew up a house full of love. I mean, his number one football team, we don't call them the Commanders, but Mr. Bowman calls them the Redskins, which I completely agree with on his behalf. I think it's a great, not ample opportunity for him. He's blessed in his adult years. He's got four wonderful children, and two which has proceeded, and one grandchild. And he loves jazz and contemporary music, and the way he does his business about with us is great. He shows the new people. He takes the time and the comfort to help everybody out, and we couldn't ask for a better operator. Mr. Bowman, I want to sincerely say thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you've done for all of us here at TransDev. So what we did for Mr. Bowman, just on a side note, he's got a certificate right there in front of him. It's a safety awards that's going out. We have given him a day off at TransDev because he deserves it. And plus he's receiving a $100 gift card as well. Continue the great work, continue the support, and continue promoting from what you do, which is the excellence that you do. We appreciate every bit of it. Thank you, sir.
Go now. Mm-hmm. Hello, everyone. My name is James Bowman. I'm just so excited to receive this award. My time with TransDev has been wonderful, and I meet exciting people every day. I just want to thank you, and hopefully I'll keep doing a good job. Thank you, and thank everyone.
Thank you for all you do, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to our wonderful award winners for this evening. Next, Ms. Anderson, you get to stay on. The next topic is up for you, web booking.
Oh, wow. Well, I think this is going to be short and sweet. Just to give you a quick update. So our WMATA IT team has been working with our software vendor, Trapeze, in coming up with a new build to resolve some of the issues that yourself, Mr. Semaford, as well as Mr. Torres, has identified as it pertains to the web booking. I'm happy to report that they have a build that is right now in the test environment. So they are stress testing this particular build to make sure that in fact it does resolve some of the slowdown issues and whatnot that have been brought forth. We expect that probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks, if everything looks good, that build will be put into production. So that's kind of where we are right now with the Pass Web.
All right. And I'm presuming it's going to be tested during peak hours of most heavy usage where, you know, people are booking online. So I presume y'all are able to get stats on around what times people build. It's, you know, usually around that. near end time of 4:30, somewhere yes. Like those last couple of hours beforehand and whatever other indicated peak times, so that we hopefully will doing reservations will be smoothing. There will be less having to rebook trips.
Yes.
or seeing that the trips booked all the way, but you know.
Right.
But I do thank you for the efforts and that you have done in terms of that in general.
Yes. So we're pressing on with this. I mean, I know it's been a hiccup or two. We thought we had something we put in production. It didn't work. We had to pull it back. So, but we're going to get it. So.
Any questions?
Thank you for your patience.
Not a problem. Any questions about this particular topic from committee members? Going once, going twice. Oh, Miss Anderson, I did tell you about, as we talking about web booking, I booked a trip on Tuesday evening and no, for this year. This will be Monday evening of this week. And there were differing times that seemed to have changed. And I think I sent you a message about that. Were you able to look into that?
Yes, sir. And actually, that particular event was not due to anything with web, past web in particular.
Mm-hmm.
That was caused by a human error.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened is, and these extremely rarely happen incidents, because as Ms. Anderson knows, it happened many, many, many years ago. I had a window that I booked for 8:59 to 9:29. And then on the phone, when I called, it seems like the trip window changed to, and the agent, you know, when I spoke to him, said 9:10 to 9:40. I'm like, how does the trip change when it says, the end of my booking is 2 hours before it, but the window changed back to the window I selected the day after the trip was done with and performed. That's why I asked the question, is this a technical issue or is it a human error issue? And hopefully those types of issues almost never occur again.
Right. It was a human error issue with a new supervisor. So that's been rectified.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions? Nope. Okay. We're going to move to the next topic. Mr. Blake, you're on next. So now that we, let me bring up my agenda again. Now that we, we'll do the first one. The window change update, just to kind of give us a progress on how's that looking, getting customers informed, all that other good stuff about the Metro Access window change update.
Yeah, so just a recap is that we're going to be changing the pickup window of Metro Access beginning July 1st, where currently your 30-minute window begins 15 minutes before your pickup time through 15 minutes after your pickup time. Your pickup window will begin at your pickup time and go for the next 30 minutes. We will be informing customers through the IVR. We'll be informing customers through other means of messaging. And you're going to notice the statements by the reservation team members will be reflecting the change coming soon. We will have them update their information prior to the change, and then it will become part of their regular statements during the script during their reservation process. But that's going to begin. We don't want to confuse too many things, so we didn't want to start messaging on this too early. So we're thinking middle towards the end of May and all of June, we will be updating customers about the schedule window, pickup window, excuse me, change that will begin on July 1st.
And I presume this would require you and Ms. Anderson to update the customer guide in terms of that information. Yeah, yes, that piece. Because it's reflected all the way around.
Correct.
I see Phil has his hand up. Go ahead, Phil, as it relates
to this. Paul, thank you. Mr. Blake, if the window calculation is changing from the pickup time to 30 minutes past pickup time, what will that do to the fare calculation?
Well, that's going to be our next topic, but you know, thanks to the great advocacy of this committee and other disability community stakeholders, Metro Access will have a flat fare, essentially a flat fare beginning July. Actually, that's going to begin June 25th. So it will not change your fare calculation. The fare will be $4.
Okay, because as I understood it, and this was brilliant on the part of Ms. Klein, $4 will be the peak. But if the calculation due to $1 fares on bus or $2 fares on bus or $3 fares on bus, it will not exceed $4. But if it's a $1 fare on bus, it might only be a $2 fare.
Well, if they change the fare, and right now I'm not seeing any movement on the Metro bus fare going to $1 at the moment, but there are very rare occasions, but there are occasions in which, let's say, Arlington or Montgomery County or another locally operated transit service has a fare, a base fare that's less than $2 and is the fastest equivalent fixed route trip. So those trips on Metro Access will be less than $4.
Like in Prince George's
County. But then the question is, when will the calculation take place? Because, you know, when they do the calculation, it depends upon which bus and which train is in position to make the trip the fastest.
So what you're asking is, they will, the pickup time, that's not going to change, because right now your fares are based on your pickup time, not the pickup window.
Okay, great. Got it. Yes. Thank you.
All right. So my question for you, Mr. Blake, next is, in what manner and how is this going to, and what point is this going to be communicated to abilities ride providers? Because obviously, like, for instance, with Yellow Cab, they base their pickup on the actual middle of the window, that pickup time that is negotiated. When would they be informed? And obviously this needs to be reflected in the customer guide too.
Right. So let me read my notes on like the last topic. OCC, IVR, customer guide, and the website. Those are our means of communicating this. In terms of the abilities ride providers, right now, the abilities ride providers, and mainly right now, we're talking about the taxis, because with Uber, the customer clicks the link themselves, as you're well aware. But with Yellow Cab, for example, the time they're getting is the pickup time. Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard stories about coming early, and we promised them about that. But the times that they receive, the times are the pickup times of the customer. So that's not going to change either. They're still going to get the pickup time.
Now, do make the emphasis, I know you can't always control it while we're on that issue, with some of the abilities by providers. I know it's hard because it's a third-party provider. You know, with them picking up sometimes early, like I'm in the mindset, if I know, like, A, it's Yellow Cab because I get the text the day before that, okay, let me be prepared, maybe 10, 15 minutes. But another customer obviously is expecting, I would hope or request that perhaps in the customer guide, if it's not there already, you know, emphasize that with some third-party providers do maybe be prepared to get there maybe 10, you know, be ready 10 minutes before your pickup window. How do you want to address that? Because
we don't want to deal with it that way, because that's not fair to the customer.
Oh, I know, but that's what some of us see in reality.
No, I got you. So what I'm trying to do is further, and we may add this to the customer guide, I think this is the point you're making. We want to continue to educate, for lack of a better word, inform and empower the customer. If you see Yellow Cab is out there 10 minutes before your pickup time, you can do one of two things: call Yellow Cab or send them a text, because I'm just using Yellow Cab as an example, so it's not to pick on anybody. But you can contact the taxi company and tell them I won't be ready until my pickup time, which is 9 a.m. I'm not ready at 8:45. Or you can, if you don't want to deal with them per se, you can call the Metro Access call center and let them know that your abilities ride trip has arrived early and you would like to have another vehicle dispatched. And either they then can contact the taxi cab provider on your behalf.
And the only reason I say maybe better is to call the OCC is, well, Yellow Cab, you know, you have a number and you can talk to the person directly and work with them. But with like Old Dominion, that's a whole different beast because they're more centralized. So,
well, it's up to the customers. And I think that's the key. We want to continue to empower customers to utilize the resources that are available, but to choose which one. We don't want to give customers just one choice. And that's what this whole thing is about, is giving or allowing customers to use their ability to make decisions among a variety of options. So yeah, instead of customers having to be ready early, I'd rather them be more empowered to communicate directly with the taxi provider or with Metro Access to further communicate on their behalf.
Okay. Any other questions as it relates to this topic before we dive about the flat fare with Mr. Blakus? Me and Ms. Russ have some follow-up questions now that this has officially passed. So wonderings to ask Mr. Blake. But go ahead, Mr. Blake.
So, yes, as we were just saying with Chairman Emeritus Posner, that many of you had your voices heard loud and clear, pretty obviously. You've been working at this for a long time. I'm really happy for you. I mean, I literally can say that. I mean, I'm really happy for you, the advocacy on behalf of the customers that you are representing. And so not July 1st, but June 25th.
June 25th. June 25th. Oh, okay. Write this down.
Let me make sure that's the right day. That's the Sunday, right? Yeah. So June 25th, the Metro Access fare cap will go from $6.50 all the way down to $4. That's a huge significant achievement. And you guys, you push forward and you deserve it. And I'm really happy for you. And as I just read, we're going to be through the OCC, the IVR, the customer guide, and the website. We're going to be informing customers of this change. If you have a subscription trip, you don't have to do anything. Your fare will automatically reflect it. And just keep in mind, the fare that you're going to be receiving is the exact fare that you're already getting on weekends and after 9:30 on the weekdays. So this is an expansion of the cap or max or flat fare that we're experiencing for a large portion of our schedule. But now it's going to be 24/7. I'm not a big fan of funerals per se, but we can finally lay to rest the fare calculator. So I don't know if Phil, Patrick, Ansel Torres, all of you, we can finally get rid of it. I want to make a deal with y'all. I hope I never hear y'all talk about the fare calculator ever again after June 25th, okay? Except in memory. But I think this is going to be a good, well, we know it's going to be a good thing, and we'll communicate it, but customers don't have to do anything except enjoy a significant decrease in your Metro Access fare.
Okay, before the race begins, I will start with at least three questions with you and everyone else. I'm sure Ms. Rush, I see her on the call, it's probably want to jump behind me. My first question for you is when this process begins, and we know that there will be probably an influx in rides, how are y'all going to, possibly, if there's an influx in rides, how are y'all going to handle the capacity? Are y'all going to send more trips to Abilities Ride?
Well, we'll have some more trips on Abilities Ride, but I don't think you should expect a significant amount because, again, we don't want to put so many trips on the third parties that they become overwhelmed. We want the experience on those third parties to continue to be the positive experience overall that we've been hearing from customers. And so we have to look at their capacity and ensure that they're not overwhelmed. And we just have to do a better job at scheduling. So right now, and you've heard me talk about this, I just checked it again today. For the month of, what month? This time is flying so much. So the month of March, we were talking about 35% shared rides. I mean, this is not public transportation per se. I mean, I keep telling y'all we're a fixed ride equivalent shared ride service, but with the whole month and we're only talking about 35% of our total trips were shared rides, that tells you there's a whole lot more capacity on Metro Access. Now, again, we don't want Metro Access to get so overwhelmed. I think you all enjoy riding alone at times, but there are going to be times that you have to share a ride just like we do on bus and rail. But I want to alleviate you of any concerns you may have about capacity, because I can assure you there is still a whole lot of capacity on the Metro Access side of the house.
All right. So if there's an increase, possible significant increase in rides after that time period, y'all will just absorb it where shared rides, which is the expectation, may, you know, possibly go up in order to deal with that issue. The next question I would have is, if there are late trips after July 1st, what would happen with the, you know, customers get the, you know, late, you know, like right now would be $6. What would happen with that?
Nothing's going to change. You will still get a late trip credit. I think right now we give you two, so that's $6. So in this case, we'll continue to give you two, which, no, we'll change. We'll change that whole late trip credit thing, but it'll be the equivalent of a trip. So you'll get one late trip credit for $4.
All right, so that will change after that. The next question is, will you still be doing the ability to ride the free trips after that date the price changes and goes down?
Oh, yeah. We're going to keep abilities ride free for a while. I mean, we'll say forever, because this is not an entitlement, so I don't want to set that expectation. But I think you all like free trips, and I think we've proved through our economic model that through good management, oversight, that free trips are not a detriment or a hindrance to the agency, but it can actually be quite beneficial.
All right. I see Doris's hand up. Are there any other hands up, Anu?
You can assist. Yes, 74. This is Anu. I only see one hand up by Doris Ray at this point.
Go ahead, Doris.
Hi. I just wanted to ask or kind of confirm, because we're going to be putting out some information about these changes. And I've already started to write an article. So one could ride from, say, Centerville. I mean, so long as you're, you know, within the Metro service area, Metro Access service area, one could ride from Centerville to Gaithersburg or to New Carrollton for $4, right?
That is correct.
Okay, and then on the Silver Line side, if one is within, well, actually, if you're in Herndon and you're 3/4 of a mile from Fixed Route, and you're obviously already eligible for Metro Access, you could ride from there to any place like Rockville or something for $4, right?
That is correct. As long as you're within 3/4 of a mile of fixed rail service, yes.
Could you do that if you were within 3/4 of a mile of Ashburn Station as well?
Yes, because Ashburn is fixed route service. So if you're within 3/4 of a mile of that Silver Line station, here's the way I like to put it. And I should know this. And Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, is Innovation Station the last one on the new Silver Line? I get my stations.
No, it's Ashburn Station.
It is Ashburn Station. That's why I asked it that way.
Very good, Doris. But, so you can take from Ashburn all the way to the edges of Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And that's $4.
Okay. So the other question though that I have is how right now am I correct that the so-called abilities ride rides are have to do with if you're changing your reservation at some point during the same day of your trip, correct?
No, ma'am. So
like you want to leave later?
No. That's part of it, but the heart and soul of, if you will, of the Abilities Ride program is that customers enroll in the program, and by enrolling, you're basically participating in a daily lottery, and our computer the night before selects a lot of trips to be placed on Uber or taxis. And if your trip happens to be one of them, you get that trip at a discount. And that discount right now currently is free. Now, on the day of, if your trip is late or projected to be late, the call center team may offer you the option to have your trip moved to an Uber or a taxi in lieu of getting or waiting further for your vehicle. If you say yes, then you will get that discounted trip as well. And as you pointed out, if you call, because we are in the accommodation business, and you say my trip was scheduled for 8 p.m., but I'm finished work, or my doctor's appointment ended early and I'm ready at 6 p.m., if you call the call center, we will try to accommodate you. And part of that accommodation may be through the Abilities Ride program, although on none of those cases, you're guaranteed. And that's the key to it. But we have flexibility to try to accommodate the needs of the customers through our dedicated fleet, as well as these alternative services.
Okay, there's just one last question that I have. So my question has to do with this. If you have an arrangement with either Uber or the taxi company to do these kinds of trips, do they make a guarantee to you about how many wheelchair accessible vehicles they have in their fleet? Say, for example, I guess it's called Old Dominion Taxi, but say Fairfax, Falls Church Yellow Cab. So do they vouchsafe to Metro that they have so and so many WAVE vehicles available at any given time, so that if a wheelchair user is making an abilities ride or one of the other kinds of same day trips, that they will be assured of getting wheelchair accessible vehicle?
Okay. So just a clarification on a couple of things. On the first question, a pertinent question is yes. On an annual basis, we get at the start of the solicitation, when they first propose to become a part of the program, they tell us how many wheelchair accessible vehicles they have at the time and their plans to work at increasing the number of wheelchair accessible vehicles in their fleet. But I will add to that statement, right now the challenge has been less about the actual vehicles and more so about the drivers. Since the pandemic, they've had challenges recruiting drivers to operate wheelchair accessible vehicles. They say generally because it costs more for the drivers, and they haven't been willing to take on the added financial burden for operating a wheelchair accessible vehicle. But to your question, the answer is yes, we do keep track of their reporting of the number of wheelchair accessible vehicle trips in their fleet. Second part, I just want to be clear.
But part of my question is this. Mm-hmm. How do we know, how do we, meaning WMATA and Metro Access, et cetera, how do we know that they're going to have, when one of these calls comes, that they're going to have a vehicle on the street so the drivers get to take them home?
Let me endorse that because we have other people. That was my last question,
but that's an important part of this.
Right.
Okay.
So just so, because again,
especially for Fairfax County residents. So.
Okay, but Doris, but you've got to understand the difference between the Abilities Ride program and what you're describing of customers calling up requesting an Abilities Ride trip or requesting a taxi trip is not what the Abilities Ride program is. Customers call us and book Metro Access trips.
But if they need a wild vehicle, I hear you, but
you're saying, how do we know that somebody, how that vehicle is going to be?
Oh, there? Yeah, no, I know that.
We communicate with the taxi companies day before or on the live day in determining, here are the trips we would like. Will you be able to provide the resources? If somebody called right now in the middle of this meeting, their trip is running late, they don't want to wait for the next Metro Access. If they're in Washington, D.C., we will send a note to one of the two companies. How quickly can you get a WAVE vehicle to, 1700 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest? I don't even know if that's the address. So it's through communication, but you got to keep in mind, Doris, this is not a program where a customer calls up and demand for on-demand trips. Their trips have to be booked ahead of time through Metro Access.
Sure.
Thank you. Mr. Blake, a question has come up, and then I'm going to defer to Denise Rush if she has any comments on this topic. Will this change of going to a flat fare $4 have any bearing on right now our negotiation window for reservations? Will that expand? I just asking all the questions.
Yeah, no, nothing else is changing at this time because all of these pieces that you're talking about, the scheduling window, the pickup time, they're all, well, the pickup window and the pickup time are interchangeable, but all the other pieces are independent, the fare. So no, we're not changing the scheduling window. Okay. It's going to remain 90 minutes for now, as I've promised for several years now, and I think it's been working for us. So there's no need to change that at this point.
Okay. Denise, you're on here. Did you have questions for Mr. Blake?
No, I'm just waiting on Mr. Blake to say what he's going to do or change, when he gives. If we get, he's going to do something. Okay. So I'll wait until that happens because all the other questions you've already asked.
Well, I'm going to say this for sure. This was definitely not a gift from me, although I supported 100% and have for a long time. This was a gift of a 38% fare reduction by this board of directors. And I know you have plans, and I would just say when you have an opportunity, two words go such a long way, and that's thank you. And I know Ms. Rush has already done that in the board meeting where she had the police chief jump up when she said I was having a heart attack. She had the whole place nervous. We were getting all the doctors together. But no, this was a 38. What was that, Ms. Rush?
I needed them because I've never heard that come out of a board member's mouth.
I hear you. Well, it's real. And they've done it. There's nothing from Blake. You don't have to look at me. I'm not trying to take anything away. There's only one thing left for me to do here at Metro, and this is the last topic that I know Mr. Semaphore wants to talk about. If we could get that, I think we would have really had a good run here, but we've got to get that part fixed. But no, this fair and all the things that you've done as a committee and the disability community stakeholders who also participated, making it work in terms of alternatives and being more efficient on public transportation. You all deserve a lot of credit. It's been my pleasure, you know, working with you guys and doing this. I mean, it's been a good thing. And I can just tell you, I got a call today from New Jersey Transit, and they're not calling it Abilities Ride, but they're ready to roll out a program of offering free trips on third parties, precisely modeled after what you all have helped us create. So this has been some good stuff, and the fare reduction is well-deserved. And the board, again, just give them your thanks. They made it happen. They saw the light, and your advocacy made it happen.
Thank you so much. And now we roll to, after now we've worked hard on this piece, the next piece that the committee is eagerly looking forward to, hopefully in sometime in the near future, is the next topic. As we work through this pilot of trying to get you know, pieces of real-time information, I do understand, and I got your note about that customers that, so my question is going to become, just to be transparent, customers are going to access whenever this goes out to the public, real-time information to see where their vehicles is coming, through what means, because during this pilot, I'm not getting it, at least for the past week. I got your text, but it's like, if it's not coming, then how do I assess if the information comes to me is, you know, really going to come within that window? Because from the times it did, and I've told you very directly, almost now trip by trip, because I'm a person of data collection as a teacher, a special ed teacher, that, you know, you get, you're telling me it's going to be at the beginning of the window, but it's not coming until the end. Mm-hmm. Or like in, what was it? The last time I think I saw it was like Monday evening. It's like, when that whole issue happened and Ms. Anderson dealt with it, I said, I can see the vehicle here. And there was a complication with that whole pickup window thing, where the driver, you know, rightfully filed the information, picked me at 9:10, even though that wasn't the correct and true window, but it was sitting there in the parking lot and I see it and I'm like, it's telling me it's going to be there in a minute, but obviously because of other human means, it didn't show up until 10 minutes later. And it's not the driver's fault. But again, how are customers going to access this? And if this is still in the pilot period right now, and how do I access it to continue to test, to give you what you need? So you go ahead.
Okay. So yes, and you have been very diligent, and I appreciate your patience. Some of your trips, you received the text messages, some of them you didn't. And that harkens back to our effort with the pre-arrival call, where sometimes you got the call, sometimes you didn't, sometimes you received it 2 a.m. for a 10 a.m. trip. So that part of it, I think we're clear that we don't want to be in the business of pushing the information out, at least not right now. So we don't want to be pushing text messages to you. What I'm trying to get done, and man, I really hope we have this before July 1st. That's my goal. We're working very hard, believe me. I can't promise. But what we're trying to do is, if Paul Simmerford, if I have your Metro Access ID number, and you have a trip coming up in an hour or two, I can just pull up my phone right now, go to a mobile browser of my choice, go to this page, and look at
your alert. Audio now on mute.
That was my phone. That was Vanessa's. Okay. And I can go and look at the estimated arrival time of your trip.
So this would be similar to the My MTA app with AccessoRide, which I do now.
Okay. Now, I haven't seen the My MTA app per se, because I want to move away from, even though it's all similar, when you open up an app, you're basically looking at a web page in a sense.
Oh, so it's different because you're going to a specific dedicated web page for that specific product.
Correct. I want you as the customer to choose your browser of choice.
Oh, got it. That's accessible. Okay.
Or exactly. I want you to decide what's accessible to you, because you have the power to do that way better than I do. So what I want to do, though, is create an accessible website And the website, by and large, in my opinion, and you've used it, is accessible. But we want you to be able to go there when you know you have a trip, type in your ID number or however we figure out that security piece, which is the holdup right now. And you can look at, when is my trip going to arrive? Like right now, again, I can do it. I have it, but I have the security clearance. And I won't share your security clearance with anybody outside of Metro, but I have the security clearance, so I can look right now and tell you the estimated arrival time of your trip. What we were trying to do through the text message is send you a text message so then you can go and look at it, but that's proven to be problematic. And I don't want to be sending out thousands of text messages every day and customers are complaining about the time they received it or didn't receive it. I'd rather just set up a web page. You decide the browser of your choice, and you go to that browser to check on the status of your trip. That's what we're trying to get in your hands by July 1st.
So what you're saying now is the customer pilot, being me or any others who were testing this, is pretty much on hold because you have to create a website in which customers are able to access it as a public entity.
Essentially, yes. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to get some more text messages. Not that they're absolutely necessary, because again, the big thing that we're really looking for you from now, as I've been writing to you in some of our communication, is when you do receive a text message to go look at the page with the estimate arrival of your vehicle, has that estimate been accurate?
Mm-hmm. And I've always given my opinion of that, whenever available. So right now, basically what you're saying, for someone like me who's testing this, it's pretty much on hold. Or am I supposed to be getting any? So what is my role in this right now? Because obviously, since it's been almost a week, I've not getting any information.
Right. Your role is to be patient. If you get a text and you find it to be accurate, you can send me a note and let me know that the estimated arrival time is pretty accurate. If you don't get a text, don't worry about it too much. Don't stress over that. And just know that in the background, we're working very hard to take the information I have available to me and make it available to every Metro Access customer who has a trip that day.
All right. I can just tell you right now, it's pretty much stopped. So my assumption is, right now, so I'm not giving any more feedback because I'm not getting anything at all.
Got you. I understand.
Okay. I just wanted to make that note on record.
Yes.
Any questions from committee members on this topic here? Is Pat here?
I have not seen him. This is a chair summit.
All right. Or Phil about, getting information. So now we're waiting to see it being tweaked and pushed out to the public is what I'm hearing. Is that correct, Mr. Blake? Between now correct. And possibly July 1st.
That is my absolute goal for sure, is to have you and every customer with the ability to go online, if you have a trip that day, to go look at the projected arrival time of your vehicle.
So my next question is, when this is rolled out, possibly July 1st, right, and how's that going to be communicated to customers like everything else?
Well, through many of the same means, the IVR, text messages, probably, here we go with that, but I can send text, but I know when I send text messages, I know you all receive them, or maybe the robocalls. Y'all haven't had... We had such a mild winter, y'all didn't get any robocalls from me this winter, so I know y'all miss hearing my voice on the phone. So I may send out a few robocalls, but right now I can't really express a outreach strategy until I know for sure what it is we're able to give you.
Because obviously this will be sort of a new tool for people, unlike the window change. Yeah, there's some education, but customers understand that there is a window. Or fare change, that's a matter of informing people. But now they, it's a different concept for them now. Oh, I can search for my vehicle, you know, that does, that may require a little bit of education and possible outreach, so customers are empowered to use that tool, you know, once it goes out, you know, and that may help alleviate, you know, calling like Wells Fargo, right, because I can see it myself and make my own decisions.
Right, that is part of the goal of this, is to help you only need to call the OCC when there's a serious problem, not just to check on the status of your ride.
All right, Ms. Coles, I see your hand up.
Alert, audio now unmuted.
Yes, well, I was wanted to answer Mr. Blake, and this is Vanessa, sir. Will that help those Metro Access consumers that are working on the Air Force base, the Army base? Because I have a consumer that's constantly calling me about problems that they're having trying to get status reports on when their ride is going to be coming, and they wait extremely long hours trying to get a good answer.
Right. So in all fairness and transparency, it will help the customer know the approximate time the vehicle is going to get to the gate of the Air Force base or the Army base, but how long will it be before the driver gets through the gate? That the app will not be able to help with that, because again, the app doesn't control the speed and the amount of time Metro Access has to endure on private or otherwise controlled entrance locations. So yeah, we can tell you how fast we're going to get to the Air Force base, but how fast they let us through the gate and go pick up the customer, the app will not be able to provide any help on that.
Well, yeah, I understand that. And apparently something has changed where they're a little more lenient. I was hoping she would come on to speak, you know, on her own behalf, but they are more willing now to let the Metro Access land, because she has some extreme issues there. So, but it would help if she would have an idea to know, because she's getting some false information about whether or not they come in, when they're coming. It's not about the gate issue.
Okay. This is Thomas. I'm here. Right. Sorry.
I'll come back to it. Okay, Thomas. So if we're talking about the vehicle just arriving in general, yeah, and then this will help. If you know your trip is, let's say, your pickup time, let's say it's 10 minutes from now, and you're looking at the I'm using the word app, but you're looking at the website, and there is no vehicle anywhere in sight, then yeah, you may want to call the OCC to find out what's going on. Is there a technical issue with the website? Or have you all not sent the vehicle to me? And see, under the current model, the OCC could tell you, or Wes Murray could say, oh yeah, it'll be there in 10 minutes, even though there's no vehicle anywhere around. Y'all know we've been through that whole 10 minute thing. Although we're supposed to be moving away from that, and we have largely moved away from that. But now we won't be able to hoodwink you by claiming there's 10 minutes when there's not even a vehicle anywhere nearby. So yeah, it'll provide that information, but again, the military bases themselves are a unique challenge in this region, just in terms of the sheer number, and every base has their own protocols for entry. Some allow shared rides, some don't. It's a challenge, but we're overcome.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Coles. Now, we're going to go on to our next and final topic, Ms. Anderson. We go back to Easy Pay. So I brought up an interesting concern. I looked at my account and I said, and this was like, it happened around St. Patrick's Day weekend. I'm looking at some red where there's deductions of up to $20 and wondering, this is all done in one day from the comments and found it bizarre. And I asked Ms. Anderson, what's going on? I know these are rare occurrences, but this is twice in 1 year.
So, yes, Mr. Semaford, this did occur with EasyPay. And basically what occurred was, again, there was human error that occurred with one of our OCC supervisors in canceling Max trips that had been transferred to Abilities Ride to that alternative for the March 18th service day. Fortunately, the OCC IT team was able to quickly correct that mistake by utilizing the data backup to restore system data to accurately reflect service day performance. And then staff went back through and made sure that the EasyPay account balances for impacted customers were corrected and accurate. So those red transactions that you saw were actually corrections made for the overage that was placed into your account when the cancellations occurred.
All right. And, you know, she explained that to me, but it's like, why? I just put money in my account. It's now dropping out $20. And I'm like, two trips, it's, you know, an $8 trip. And she, after she explained everything, it made sense. And I'm assuming, again, to be transparent, there are holds. Well, there's now something in place to hopefully make sure an issue like this does not happen again.
Absolutely.
Controls
absolutely.
In place, that is.
Yes, yes. We took some action there to make sure that this type of occurrence would not happen here in the future.
All right. Any questions from committee members? No one? Okay.
Semaford, this is Anua. I do not see anybody's hand up.
All right. We can go to customer.
Public comments.
You can go ahead with your announcement, Noon. Let me know who is set to speak.
Sure. So I will share my announcement first. For any members of the public who would like to make public comments, can do so before or even after the meeting, as well as during the meeting by participating. If you'd like to send us an email with public comments, the email address is metroaacchair@vomada.com. That's metroaacchair@wmata.com. You can also call and leave a message at 202-962-1100, and we will review your message. So thank you. That was my announcement for the public comments. We do have one member of the public who would like to make public comments, Ansel Torres. Mr. Torres, when you start speaking, I will turn the timer for 3 minutes at that point.
Hello. Congratulations to everybody who was involved in convincing WMATA to lower the fare. I don't agree with the $4 amount, but progress is usually measured in small steps. I still believe that Metro Access riders deserve free fares, primarily because we have been overcharged for so many years and WMATA has not been accountable. I wish I could say today that I feel grateful that WMATA has done this. If the financial situation was different, I would say yes. But when you have surpluses of over $42 million in the Metro Access budget that is being siphoned off for other WMATA activities, basically, I feel like a stepchild where my, you know, where the government is sending me, so sending my parent $100 to take care of me, but I'm only getting $60. So I feel like a stepchild indeed. I'm not going to get excited when there's $42 million on the table that is unaccounted for. WMATA is refusing to answer any questions from me about it. That will stick in my craw until WMATA becomes transparent. And I really don't want to hear anything about transparency at WMATA or accountability at WMATA when they're refusing to answer financial questions that are very legitimate. There will come a time when I will go to the necessary powers to get the answer to that question, but the day will come when that question will hopefully, well, I know it will be answered. I just want to see how long WMATA is going to take before they answer the question. Regarding the this tracking system that we have been trying to solve, I'm trying to get an understanding of what is this new system? What is the underlying technology? Is this a trapeze project that Mr. Blake, you're trying to get started in July? What is this new thing that I'm hearing? I'm not sure I understand what is involved there. Or is it what you've been talking about before? So let me know what's the story with that. And that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Blake, would you like to respond about, I guess, the pilot to be, I guess, what you're trying to get done with this website?
Sure. So it's nothing new in terms of the fact that Mr. Torres, yourself, and a few others were already participants in the pilot. The difference is that instead of Metro, as they say, pushing information to the customer, i.e. sending a text message that then you act upon, and when you were in the pilot, Mr. Torres, you received, at least for a few trips, a text message, and then you would, it was supposed to give you the estimated arrival time of your vehicle. Well, what we're doing and what we're trying to do when we officially launch it is, instead of using text message to alert the customer, we want to provide a website and a means that the customer accesses the information about his or her trip alone. And so it's what you were a part of and what Paul has been a part of, but minus the text messages from Metro. If you want to check on the update of your trip, you can. If you know that your trip is supposed to be there at 8:30 and you just wait till 8:30 and hey, there it is, great. That's totally up to you to decide how to do that. I mean, it's nothing new though. I mean, it's the same testing that we've been doing, and it's the main part of the testing, as I've shared with Paul, is were the estimates, even when they came 29 minutes before your pickup time, I mean, and we thought that wasn't the best time to inform a customer that their trip is 30 minutes away when that's the pickup window, but was even that accurate? And that's what we've been testing, is the accuracy of the information we're getting back from the GPS systems and using the Bing maps that use real-time traffic information.
So this has nothing to do with trapeze?
Well, we get your trip information out of trapeze, but no, this is not a trapeze project, no. Call it a Blake project.
Okay.
Who do you trust more, Chris Blake or trapeze? That's a tough one, I know. No answer.
So who's GPS that we're using? What GPS technology are we using? This is
we're getting information from the location of the vehicle. That's already on. The system is on the vehicle, so that's why we know. As you and I have talked online and offline, at this moment, I can go on a web page and look and know where every single vehicle is located. That's not a problem. We know where our vehicles are located. What we need now is if vehicle A, or in our case, we use numbers, if vehicle 6314 is going to go pick up Paul Semaphore, if we use the traditional model that we've had here, it will give us one estimate, but with the traffic, I think there was a marathon today and there's some other things going on, that estimated time may not be that great. And that's what's brought the frustration for you and others. If we use the Bing Maps, and Bing is part of Microsoft and they're using real-time traffic, we feel that the projected arrival time of your vehicle is going to be, that we share with you, is going to be much more accurate. So you're getting information from the location of the vehicle, and now we're taking that location of the vehicle, the address the vehicle is going to, and using real-time traffic from Microsoft Bing Maps to provide you with an accurate estimate of when that vehicle is going to come pick you up.
And is that an automated process, or is somebody is manually doing this?
This is automated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. So next, I see Amanda Hillman's hand is up. So I will take her for 3 minutes, followed by Marcy Goldstein.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Hi. First of all, I just want to say that today I had an opportunity to go to the new location at LaFont Plaza, the headquarters, to pick up my WMATA retirement badge. Woo, woo, woo! And while I was down there, I visited the Accessibility Center, and I was wondering when that was going to be opened again for, I guess, you know, customers to go down to, you know, I guess get their badges and things, or are we still trying to get everything? I guess, are we still processing everything online or, you know, through mail, or is that going to be open soon?
So, Mr. Blake, is there staff from the eligibility office here today? Because I don't see the usual names on here.
Well, I could just answer the question. I know they're here, but the answer is the Transit Accessibility Center is open, and it's been open now for at least 6 months, maybe more, but it's open. Now, as we've learned some things and just some through philosophical beliefs, we know that there are a lot of customers, and we've heard AAC members say, if I have a certain disability, why do I need to keep coming down here to get recertified? Well, you need to be recertified, but do you necessarily need an interview? And even if you're not a current Metro Access customer, if you have a particular disability and a particular statement or statements from medical professionals, do we really need to bring you in for an interview to rubber stamp what we already know based on our professional expertise? In my opinion, that answer was no. Prior management felt everyone theoretically should come in, and that's fair. And that's you know, nobody disagrees with that, but I just believe we have a different approach and we don't necessarily need to bring everybody in. So are you saying you were not able to come into the Transit Accessibility Center, or?
No, I was able to come in. I was just curious. I didn't see any Metro Access vans or anything around. I was just kind of curious. It was, a couple of people that had walked in and they were being serviced, and you know, everybody was taking care of them. So that wasn't the issue. I was just curious because I know when we were at JGB, it was always Metro Access vehicles bringing people downtown and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, so even before we moved from JGB, I hope you would have noticed a steady reduction of Metro Access vehicles. In fact, a lot of them were replaced with taxi vehicles, because those Metro Access vans, whenever you see Metro Access vans anywhere lined up back to back to back, waiting on one passenger each, that's hurting the customers out in the service. Those vehicles need to be on the move and picking up and dropping off customers on a steady go, similar to our Metro bus vehicles, not sitting like a stack of taxi cabs at an airport or a hotel waiting for the next passenger. So that's an approach we've tried to install even before we moved over here. And you know, there'll be times you see a Metro Access vehicle and at the front of our Transit Accessibility Center here at LaFont, but it's going to be very rare because we want them to come in, drop a customer off, and keep it moving.
Okay, good. But I love the facility. Everything was very nice, and you know, I was greeted very nicely, and you know, the customers that were there were being taken care of. So there's no complaints. I was just curious. Yes. One other thing, let me see ahead. Oh, about the accessibilities ride with Uber. I guess it just depends, but sometimes I will call, you know, the Uber or press the button on my text message to say that I'm ready, and they will send or they'll acknowledge that they're sending someone, but then the person will cancel, and then I have to wait extra time for them to find someone else. Is that something that should be happening, and is there any estimate of how long we're supposed to wait for the Ubers to pick us up?
So I can partly answer that, Mr. Blake doesn't mind, since that has happened to me before. Now, that's why when you get that information, it will eventually find, you know, a driver for you, because now this is like running on like a regular Uber. Drivers see the trip, deciding whether or not to take it. And sometimes, you know, driver decides not to on the variety of factors, and eventually picks up a driver. If you get a message that it cannot find a driver for you, then that's when you call the call center so they can do an intervention to make sure, you know, you are getting picked up by Uber or whatever, or wherever else that needs to happen next. Mr. Blake, did you want to add to that?
Right. I mean, you said it perfectly. To answer your question, yes, canceled trips are a regular part of the Uber experience. And that last piece, though, is key. As an administrator, as part of this program, I see the emails every time there's one of those trips where there is no driver available. I see an email for it. Depending on what I'm doing, if I'm in church, well, I shouldn't be looking at my phone while I'm in church, but I'm guilty. I'll resend the link myself, or the customer will eventually call the OCC and they can resend the link. Or as Mr. Semaphore said, you can always call if you don't feel like waiting or you feel you've been waiting too long. You can call Metro Access, and Metro Access can send you a different type of vehicle, i.e. a Metro Access vehicle. My personal experience in seeing this, and now let me just say from a customer, I'm not eligible for Metro Access yet. So when I use Uber and it's canceled, I just have to be patient or call another service. But it is absolutely, canceled trips are absolutely a part of the Uber experience. I will tell you though, generally speaking, if you see that, give it a few minutes. Sometimes Uber may find another vehicle, or sometimes because I or a member of the team just totally rebooks the trip, you get a whole new link that you have to click again. And all that means is we told Uber they can charge us a higher price than they originally charged, so maybe they can attract a different driver. If you feel if it's raining, cold, hot, and you just don't want to wait anymore, you call Metro Access and we'll dispatch a vehicle to you as quickly as possible.
Okay, but there's no time that I should allow or wait or...
That's up to you.
It
depends on your patience.
Because usually that's what happens. I'll just wait and then, you know, it'll tell me it's looking for another driver, and then another driver will come, but I do have to wait longer, but... They come.
All right. Thank you so much, Amanda, because I see other hands raised.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
Now, Marcy, I know your hand's patiently raised, but I see other non-AAC members. I would like to take other members of the public, but I will get back to you, Marcy, for sure. I want to take Libra Robinson next for 3 minutes.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My question is there any kind of protocol on Metro Asset Access for how to assist a blind customer? And if there is there any training to the drivers? And if there is, my part two is, I heard you earlier, Mr. Blake, state that when you have your third-party rides, such as Uber or cabs, that you do check to see how many vehicles they have available for wheelchairs. If there's a protocol for Metro Access to assist blind and visually impaired persons, is there a protocol when getting those contracts for blind and visually impaired persons, how to assist them as well? Because we have had a lot of instances where a person gets an ability ride, and of course it's an Uber or taxi, but they really don't know how to assist blind and visually impaired customers. And we've also had that through Metro Access.
So go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Those are two good questions. So let's start with Metro Access. Metro Access operators are trained, and anytime you find someone who does not perform a quality service to a customer with a disability, we need to know about that so that operator can be retrained. When it comes to abilities ride, that is curb-to-curb service. That is the regular service that's not paratransit, not paratransit light. I have created a training and we share it. It's titled Serving Customers with Disabilities as a Means of Encouraging Taxi and Uber Drivers to learn and understand and better serve customers with disabilities, with the understanding that the better they do, the more customers with disabilities will want to take trips with them. But there is no requirement for door-to-door service. There is no requirement even to get out the vehicle to assist to the door or open the door. So customers who absolutely need door-to-door or other type of service as a means of facilitating their transportation, they have the right to opt out of the Abilities Ride program even after they've signed up for it. But when it comes to paratransit, the drivers are trained. Where they fail in their training, we need to know as quickly as possible so we can identify that operator, get to his or her employer, and have the retraining process begin.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. And Marcy, I'm taking one more person, just public, Janice Samuel, and then I'm going to take you, Marcy. Thank you so much for your patience. I just want to get the people who are in the public before AAC members. Okay. Thank you so much for your patience. Janice, you are up for 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'd like to revisit the topic of recertification, understanding that some people with disabilities are temporarily disabled, but has it been considered that some folk are permanently disabled? They're not going to get their vision back. They're not going to get their mobility back. Is there a possibility that the form can be amended that the physician can state that this condition is permanent so that we do not have to continue to go through the recertification process?
So I'm going to let Mr. Blake answer that, but I'm going to put it aside to a new next month, if it's possible, because it's been several years. I would like to, and they usually show up at the meetings, if certification staff can come from eligibility to do a presentation anew, I appreciate it. They know the drill and the deal. And it's been a while, and we have new committee members. So going back to Mr. Blakey, we'll answer your question, Ms. Jones.
I must say, Ms. Samuel, that is an excellent philosophical question. The laissez-faire economist in me would say absolutely yes. But now this is one where I would want to turn to people who are far more expert than I am in the field of disability assessment. And then we also have to remember, even if the disability is permanent, the investment of Metro into its accessible fixed route service is designed, the intention of the ADA was designed to overcome even permanent disabilities, if you get my drift. I mean, when the ADA was created, most cities didn't have curb cuts, if you will, and a lot of other things. So on the surface, it sounds like it's doable, but I would not want to declare that at the moment. I would say what we could do is just continue to find ways to make the recertification process much more streamlined and easier for customers. But I don't know if we're in a position where we would eventually eliminate the recertification process. But we'll talk. I'll let you know more about what I learned from my team members in terms of their thoughts about that concept.
But do thank you. I'd like to put that on the table for consideration. Thank you.
Yes,
but do come next month, because I'm putting a request to have that on agenda, since it's been a few years and there's been changes, and I would love for them to come do the wonderful experts in the eligibility office, led by their fearless leader. Marcy, you got 3 minutes.
I'm just wondering, Mr. Blake, what happened with Maya's complaint?
I'm trying to remember. I'm sorry. I've got somebody. Which came? Was this a complaint? Now, I knew. Were we dealing with a particular complaint that Ms. Goldstein shared? I don't remember one. I'm sorry.
Maya was on the phone call last week about her falling off the rail.
Marcy, are you referring to your email about the red top?
No. Maya Flores fell off the bus ramp last week.
Oh, you fell?
No. Maya Flores.
Oh, Maya Flores.
Yes. Flores.
Yes. No, I think we did follow up on that one. Now, I didn't speak to Ms. Flores, but now help me in a second. I've been traveling. Ms. Anderson, what was our resolution for that? Do we remember? Do you remember our Ms. Flores and the situation with her?
Mr. Blake, I believe that Barbara may have given her information on where she could file a claim.
The claim, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so there was follow-up, Ms. Goldstein. I just couldn't remember. There's so much. But yes, so we investigated, and I believe we found the number for the claim, and the ADA ombudsman shared that number with Ms. Flores. And then the claims people will do their own review. I hate to use the word investigation, but they will do their own review. And if award is warranted, Ms. Flores will be addressed through that process.
Okay.
Sorry, this is Anu, Marcia. And I just also wanted to add that we provided the information we had received to the claims office as well. So they have the information and their contact. They probably would have contacted already.
Okay, I was just wondering what the follow-up was.
Sure, thank you for following up.
All right, is there any other public comment or any committee members that want to comment about something before maybe I'll take a vote for adjournment, since it is 5:33.
This is Anu, Chair Samuelford.
I see Ms. Rush has her hand raised. Go ahead, Ms. Rush. 3 minutes. I knew someone would jump.
I just want to say to the people who are planning to go to New York tomorrow, I hope that you have a safe trip and you get to see what you need to see, make your comments, and some of the suggestions are taken up with the gangway. It's not about Metro Access, but the gangway cars. We have some people going tomorrow, and I hope that everything is well. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Rush.
And I see Phil with his hands raised. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Phil. Go ahead, Phil.
Just an amen for the Queen, but particularly look at the inter-car barriers, because the design of the 8000 series cars are going to be couplets. There will be an A and B car, and the gangway will be between the A and B car. But each set of A and B cars will be just hooked up, and there will be an inter-car gap. You will not be able to gangway from one pair of AB cars to another pair of AB cars, or from one pair of AB cars to a 7000 series car, if they happen to be hooked together. So the inter-car barriers are going to be very important. And they will have some models of them up there that are being used in New York. So don't forget it. I'll bug bus rail about that.
Right.
All right. No other hands.
No other hands.
You want to make your spiel anew?
Thought I did already, but I can just remind anybody who would like to make some public comments can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
All right. Besides the fact that I made a request for eligibility to come, since it's been a couple of years, to come visit the family here next month. You know me, I know who the people are. I can make that request and copy you tomorrow. I want a motion for adjournment. Any seconds?
Oh, I second.
All right. All in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 All right. The meeting is now over.
Good evening, everyone.
Bye.
Well,